So, Bev, do you want to ask your question again?
Yes, I'm curious about how much you three share of your own experience and process and use of AT with the client that you're teaching.
I share if asked. I don't just introduce something, out of the blue. So if I'm asked, I explain that I was leaving a job I was in, but I was wanting to do something else, but I didn't want to carry the stress that I felt I had. This was before AT. I realized I was very stressed, and I didn't want to carry that stress into my new life, if you like, what I was leaving behind and what might be coming for the future. And I was at the time, I was still doing training to be a counselor. And I was, you have to get your own therapist while you're doing the training. So I was sort of Googling and accidentally came across this thing called autogenic therapy, and it interested me. So I found out more about it. I bought a book, and I just really liked it. And I thought, I'm going to try this as a client. It sounded good, and that's what I did. And I found a therapist, an OT therapist, and did my course. It made such a difference to me. I had very bad problems with my back, etc. I sometimes couldn't walk, that sort of thing. It was a big part of my life that sort of changed my life. And after doing the AT, I found I was, oh, my, first of all, my osteopath told me it wasn't my back that was giving me the pain. It was the stress that I was holding inside me, and my body was just going, enough is enough, and sort of shutting me off, not shutting me off, like refusing to deal with me, I suppose. Anyway, I tried it. I had an open mind, and it improved my life. Not just the pain I had, not the stress that was causing the damage to be worse, and but an all-round thing. I mean, I found AT very inclusive of things that were good for me, and it was happening quite naturally. And so I was so happy with it that I decided I would like to learn to be a therapist myself, because I wanted to share, part of what I had learned, to help other people. And that's, it's pure accident. It was just such good luck, as far as I'm concerned, to have found OT.
And that was to a client. That
To a client.
explanation. That's what Bev's question was. How much do we self-disclose when we're talking to clients?
Yes, I suppose
If we're asked.
I was more trying to think. I was talking to Bev, actually. I probably wouldn't have gone on so much if I thought it was if I was talking to a
Yeah,
client.
client. Yeah. And I think because where you started was if the client asks me, and then this is what I would say, and then you went into your long story. So I would agree with what you've just come to, that we can quite easily and without giving anything private away, and I don't think we should, because something private might be not appropriate to be saying to a client. So I usually use very general terms when
Yes,
I'm asked, and
I
it's
could have been
been,
a lot shorter. So
yes, that's all right. No, well, we have
yeah.
clarified. We've used the
Yeah.
C part. Okay. And so I would say in that sort of circumstance, well, I was in a very difficult time of my life and I didn't know which way to turn. And actually I know somebody who had learned AT and I was referred. I went off and learned it, and it was extraordinary, which is means I'm now
Yes,
teaching
exactly.
you. So that
Thank you.
we would say a summing up kind of phrase like that. I don't know what Donna feels about that.
No, I think I would have done that. I don't
Yeah,
know.
of
Sorry,
course
Beth,
you would.
but no,
Donna?
but thank you for sharing your process,
Yeah.
Patricia, about what brought you to AT. Yeah.
Yeah, a very lucky accident, really.
Donna?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just say that I think I usually I just say I came to it through pain, not nothing more, not pain of, just through pain, and it turned my life around in so many ways that I then trained to teach it. So here I am. And it's as brief as that, really. You get the odd one that, like, you know, maybe down the road, can I ask, you know, what this is or what that is? And I try and keep it very brief, unless it's relevant. Sometimes there is some relevance. But again, it's so subjective, isn't it? It's, you need to be in the room at the time. Yes. But yeah, I don't go into life stories. I don't go into details. No. Just very general. But honest, I think that's the... Because I did come through it through pain. If I had to say anything else, I would be not authentic then. So I keep it honest but brief.
And that was Luther's other strong words that stayed with me for years. Be open and honest. There are far too many doctors and so on and so on who don't really tell the whole truth. And the patient always knows it. And he said sometimes before someone learns autogenic training, there might be two or three people around the table or four people around the table, you as the therapist and the client, and maybe if it's a young person, a parent or whatever it is, but you explain it as it is with truth and from the place of authenticity. And that actually is a hugely keen, important situation. And I've had many comments made to me, well, Colin, this is sounding... This is not boastful, but I've been intrigued by when people have said, thank you so much for teaching me this and everything else. It's been lovely. You're such a genuine person, they say. And that word genuine, I'm very pleased to hear it. But I think that actually helps us. We're not playing a role here in teaching somebody. We are actually our own real selves. But of course, there is that boundary between what the client needs to know and how we present it. But how we present it is not just a theory box ticking thing, is it? It's something we believe in, and we present it and know it for ourselves. And sometimes even in week one, I find myself saying to people, do you know what, here we are with right arm heavy, I wonder if you think I'm completely mad that I'm spending my whole life teaching people how to sit down, how to close their eyes, how to this, how to that, and then we're just talking about a heavy arm. What on earth is this? And I make light of it like that, and hopefully then people cotton on and say, well, actually, let's go with it and see what happens, which is really what we're doing.
I think it instills trust as well when you're open and honest, that you've been where they are briefly, obviously, but you've been in their shoes and it worked. That's what I've heard. Well, if it obviously did something for you, so let's give it a go, kind of thing.
Do you ever refer to examples from when you did the training yourself, you know, that might be relevant based on what the client is asking in, say, week six, you know, of what emerges, and you might, share an anecdote from your own training experience that maybe is mirroring to the client or helps to bring clarification?
Well, the story I've told earlier today about me standing up in a room full of people saying, has anybody got a tissue, please? You know, it's quite a funny story, but it does illustrate crying need symptoms. And my sudden awareness then, having had them just introduced, actually, this is something to think about. So I quite often tell that one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think what you've framed that question beautifully, Bev. It's actually what is relevant to the client. So you will know if it's relevant, perhaps in the dynamic between you and the client. I think, no, I'll park that one. I don't think that's right. But what you could also do, which is quite interesting, is the John said technique. Do you know about that one? Where you can tell a story of your own, but actually refer to somebody called John who told you this. And that's a second place, isn't it, for the client to hear your story, but they don't know it's about you. So it doesn't have to be John. It might have to be Jean if it's So that's, I have done that. I have said things like that. I don't know about you, Donna and Patricia, but sometimes people often say that it might be your own story.
Offloading examples. I think people like a like an example of. So how do you do that? So either I take one that I've heard about, or one from my own example, and or let's say, I don't know, your daughter's driving you up the wall.
Yes.
Never happens to me, obviously. just little things like that. You can always attribute to somebody else. Or sometimes I do just own it because I'm a woman of a certain age. I probably have got a daughter. Yes. So people aren't silly, are they?
Yes.
So it makes sense that I must have.
But even then, the story you are telling is actually authentic. Even if it's about somebody else or it's your own, it's still an authentic story. Yeah. And I think that's the key thing. Yeah. Thank you, Bev. Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you all.
So, where are we now? Our list of things has ended up with being clarifications on writing case studies. Have you got any particular issues? I've pulled out my green sheets from the folder just to refer to if we need to. Is this going to be a useful thing to do, or would you rather talk about something else?
Yeah, I'm always up for instruction. Yes, definitely. And okay.
I'm just going
to
grab my
phone. Still have another one to go, you know? I mean, I don't know how I did in this one. I've done my best, but I would like some more clarification, I think.
I think the basic process of writing a case study is to tell a story. And a story always has a beginning, and it also has a middle, and it has an end. So that's going to be quite similar to your presentation. Didn't we have a bit of a laugh about that last time we met? When you're standing up in front of a group of people, you first of all tell them what you're going to tell them. And then you tell them. And then you tell them what you told them. And they've really got a nice rounded thing. So the study, I always want to know, and put an introduction at the beginning. How did you meet the person? Is it a friend? Is it so what is the circumstance of the person in front of you? Just a couple of sentences, that's all it needs. And then you would go, first of all, into the assessment, wouldn't you? That is the next stage. But maybe you would also say, I gave her some information or him. Some of the things we've been talking about already. When you sent them the questionnaire, if they accepted it and presented it back to you, completed with no comment, that's fine. But of course, they might have made a resistance comment, which we've been talking about earlier today. I don't really want to answer all these questions. And so put that in the study too. How did you deal with that? What did you explain? And when you are in the assessment, there always needs to be a bit of explanation about AT. Now, Donna was talking this morning that happened before the assessment, but you might add it into the assessment because that's a good place for it in the study. That really doesn't matter. But I always want to know that you have explained to the client why we ask for all that detail on the questionnaire. And for me, that is just flagging up, only in a short sentence, that this is quite an important process. It can be psychotherapeutic. It can address body mind. If you've put those sorts of words in, I know that you know what you're talking about. And then the assessment, you might as well just write down as briefly as you can the sections that they have completed in the questionnaire, and then what was discussed about it. And so if I read at the end of the assessment, I could see there might be bereavement issues or anger issues, or there are lots of difficulties in the family, but nothing has been referred to about those things in the assessment. I'd like to have read a little bit about what the client said, or something like that. So you are telling their story as you go. But of course, it can't take thousands of words. And Pia, you mentioned you were using recordings of your sessions, and I'm sorry if we were not clear enough about that. I think if you're recording a session as for your own use and to, you know, reflect on how things went and so on, that's a brilliant thing to do. But you do not have to write a verbatim account, because that's going to take many thousands of words, which you can't do. No, it did, yes, exactly. And really,
it just says, sorry, somewhere in the notes it says verbatim.
It says verbatim, I know, and I realised that when I was checking that again, and I think because I wasn't writing those notes, or we weren't as a team writing those green sheets of verbatim, case study instruction.
But that really confused me a lot.
Well,
so
that's I understand. There. I'm so sorry. We will take it out. That is definitely going out next time.
Yeah, that's why I wrote my assessment the way I did, based on that comment in there.
Yes, well, there we go. And you see, I think what we've got to realise, and nobody did until now, and I'm now realising it, is that we've never used recordings. You know, in all the years I've been on the training team, we have never used recordings. So this is a new idea. It was introduced with the modern students. Yes, what, Pia?
Sorry, I only use it because of dyslexic. That's
all. Oh, right. Oh, yes. That's fine. Please don't apologise for it. I think it's, you know, for your own use, it's brilliant. But if you were in the real, if you were in the room, well, you are, of course, in the room with the client, and you were not recording it, you would be retaining in your brain, of course, the structure and what is going on, because the structure is quite easy once we're cottoned onto it. And so you would know how your client responded or what you explained in very brief terms, just so that the reader says, oh yeah, they've got it. They know that the postures mean about being comfortable and relaxed, if you want to use the relaxed word. So it just gives the reader the clues that say, yeah, this is good. This is sound. I was just thinking, and after the session, I've jumped a bit. If you've done that and you've held it, then immediately they've gone, write down some notes about what happened in the session. And then you've got that to base your case study on. And it can be that easy. But assessment is always the longest, because we've got that questionnaire and you've got that information there, and it's usually the longest. Donna, you've got something to say.
No, I was just wondering if the verbatim bit was in D, in the case studies assessment package, bit D, the client's autogenic training experience, because it does say the client's experience of the exercises using verbatim material as appropriate from your notes.
From your notes.
Yeah, which sometimes the client does say this, which you would transfer over verbatim, obviously, because they've said something quite profound or quite confusing, or so then you say, well, my client said this and then I did that with it, kind of thing.
Yes,
but I didn't read it the whole thing, you know, he said, she said, through the whole session, but sometimes there are parts that you do need to quote, I guess.
Yes. It could be you're so right. I mean, it's probably going to be something that you would then question.
Exactly.
You've just said something or other. What was that meaning for you? What was that about, or something? So then you've got a bit of, call it dialogue if you want. He said, she said, can be very often how one paragraph comes out on a particular issue. Yes, but verbatim from your notes is in point D. Thank you very much, Donna. Bev?
Yeah, I think what I want to share from my own experience of doing this is how difficult it is to be present with the client and take notes whilst being terrified.
I remember that.
Do you? I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, it was like, trying not to lose focus and take notes that meant something to me after. Because it's amazing, I think, what anxiety and fear can do to the brain processing power. Mine certainly felt quite diminished in terms of also my memory, because I think, I don't know, fear can eradicate things, can't it? And I didn't make a recording, but I wish I had, because I think I would have been able to record the story perhaps more authentically than relying on my notes and my memories. Yeah.
I get that entirely. What do I want to ask you? So did you say, were you taking notes during the session?
Yes. Yes. And not long notes, but mainly kind of like
odd words.
Word. Yeah. Yes. So that, at least I had something for after the session to kind of coherently structure what I thought happened.
I think we want to be careful that we don't wander away too much into, I must catch every single detail and make sure of this, that and the other. Because when I started out, I didn't take any notes at all, actually, ever. I didn't write anything. And then I realised, oh, hang on. And we didn't have case studies in those days. I'm talking a long time ago. So I didn't have to write a case study. However, one day I did, because I was doing something really interesting and I wanted to write it. And then I presented it at a meeting, and then that was a deemed a good case study. So I didn't take any notes. So I really was present in the moment all the time. I don't take notes now when I'm in the room with somebody, because it's just, you know, even one word, you know, I don't need it. You certainly don't need to take notes when you're doing the assessment, because you can write on their assessment form, which they have already written. So you can put odd things in there without them worrying at all. But I think once you're teaching, I don't think you have to worry about, am I going to remember this? You will remember enough. And that's what we really want in the case study. The things that stick in your mind, yes, stick them in, because they've stuck in your mind. I wonder why. There might be a comment to make about it. And if you say enough about presenting a new exercise, well, we've done short stitch and we're now moving on to Heaven as part one, you would simply say, I explained the format of the exercise, a little bit about heaviness and gravity, if you want to, that'll be stuff that's already in your head. And then we did an exercise using the X posture, whatever it was. I noticed that one foot was in front of the other. You're going to remember these things, especially if you've corrected them and talked about them with the client.
You're so hopeful, Jane.
You are going to remember them.
Yeah.
Well, it might be in the second case study. It's not in the first one, that's for sure.
Oh, well, that's all right. You see, this is the trouble with doing it now, isn't it? Hey, so this is, look, please don't worry about it. If the essence is there, and if I've got a comment to make, I'll make it, and you are not to worry about it. I think the important thing about this case study is that I was encouraged from a long time ago to write quite detailed comments, because actually it's very easy just to give somebody, oh yes, you got 15 out of 20 for your case study. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. So I do write some quite detailed comments simply so that you have an idea of, and probably you did it. All you didn't do was write it down. And I'm very clear about that in my opening comments, saying, I don't know what happened between you and thing in the room. Only you do. So anything that I write here, you might already have done. I'm quite happy with that idea. The fact that you didn't write it doesn't really matter. So really, the comments are far less about giving you a mark, although we do have a sort of marking system, much more about the quality than the quantity of correctness. And if you've forgotten to write something, because it did happen in week one, and actually it was only in week two that you realise it's happening again, then you'll write it there. And you'll say, I realised I'd forgotten to correct it in week one or whatever it was, but here it was again. So we spoke about the foot in front of the other. So I hope you're getting an idea. The trouble is, the more we talk about this, perhaps the worse it gets in our minds. Oh, I'm not doing it right. You're doing it fine.
And your comments, Jane, that I received for the assessment and the first session were immensely helpful. And yeah, I took them on board as like great instruction and guidance. Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. I'm glad of that. Other people have found it, that they haven't liked it. And, you know, so it's a bit of a black and white thing. And other people have said, I've still got your comments, you know, all those years ago. I still go back to what you wrote then. And of course, it's personal to your work. So, of course, perhaps that makes it more meaningful. I don't know. But I do it, so I carry on doing it. But sometimes it takes a while and we have to wait a bit for them. Yeah. Is this helpful, this discussion now?
Yeah. I just wish we'd done it a long time ago.
Well, you know what? I'm not so sure. Because if you've done it and you're now realising, oh, there's a different way I could do it, then that might be much better for you than we did all this. And then you've got more things to try and think, oh, wait a minute, what does she say about this or that? No, I can't remember. You've done it once now already. And that's a plus. You've talked to your first client. And I think it might be...
I hope I pass. I don't know if I got the whole formula right, or I'm not so sure that I will pass, to be quite honest.
What's your biggest worry in that?
Yeah. I don't think that I have laid... I have written about a lot about Tess's realizations,
yes.
But I haven't got a lot of my, because I always question, it's just a part of what I do in my other work.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't reflect, I haven't put that a lot in the whole 10,000 words or whatever it is. So there, it doesn't look like that I'm actually questioning her, but I am. And that's why I can write about her process, because I'm questioning her about her process.
Well, that's fine then.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually say that, oh, I questioned this and she said, if that makes sense.
Well, I've only used that as a matter of, see, this is why we can go into overkill here, because it doesn't have to be a he said, she said and all of that. Not at all. A paragraph generally on, we did this exercise. She reported feeling a pain in her knee and heaviness in her elbows, okay? I corrected the posture because I wasn't sure if her head was really comfortable, and we questioned that. And that might be all there is to say. And what we want to avoid, of course, is psychotherapy questioning and going deeply into things. So if you can show that your main task is teaching the AT, responding and questioning and clarifying her reports on her experience, and then moving on to the next, that's maybe all there is. But of course, in the dialogue, there's much more than that. So it feels like quite a long task. I'll tell you, the person who failed, really did fail, was a lovely guy. And he was such a good counsellor and practitioner and a lovely member of our training group, lots of experience and so on and so on. And he wrote a case study which didn't mention autogenic training at all. I think in passing. And it was just an account of the person. And I think he might, I can't remember it now, but occasionally mentioning an exercise or another one, but I didn't know which it referred to because it wasn't sort of laid out in which week it was and everything else. We had to fail him because he didn't mention autogenics at all or show that he had any understanding of exactly what the task was and what the person was going through. It was extraordinary. I know we all thought he was going to pass with flying colours, and he'd missed the mark by simply not understanding what we wanted. And it was really weird. So he had to do another one, or maybe he rewrote that. I honestly can't remember. And he said, oh, I get it now. Yes, of course, I could see what I was doing. I was writing an account of a counselling client without actually embedding the autogenics in it. So that's the guy who failed, Pia. See, yours is going to be very different to that. Because we didn't have these green notes when he was training.
We don't know. Running... We don't know we're born, Pia. And Sebastian.
That was it.
We don't know we're born. We've got these green notes.
Lovely.
Are you running another course next year? Just in case we fail?
We would not require you to run, just do it again next year. Okay. We don't like the idea of failure. We would much rather address the weakest points if it came to that. But the chances are it's not going to be like that at all. No, it's honestly, it's not about pass and fail. It's much more does this person quite understand what we're actually doing? And if you've written it so that it's clear that you do, which then that's going to be fine. And if not, I will ask some questions in my comments, or somebody else will ask a question or two. And then, of course, when we get to our fiver at the end, our nice chat at the very end of the course, you will have done two case studies and had comments for each of them. And it's those that we are interested in, what your practical experience has been like for you and so on. You know, we're very much hands-on, what am I saying here, Donna? Hands-on tutors, not academic tutors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think anyone will fail at all.
No,
that's right. Anyway, it's a learning process, so we have to improve. And I think the feedback we're going to receive is going to be very constructive, especially for the second case study.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sebastian and I, with our second language, oh, my God, we've been saying, this is my second.
But Jane... To be honest, I think it was a bit delicate for us without having a structure. Because, you know, I mean, first thing, you know, when I wanted to implement, I said, let's see how a normal case study would look like. But there are so many different, you know, case study. And normally most of them are very short, you know, like 6-7 pages. You know, you've got the introduction, the abstract part, a bit of theory, and then the conclusion. No, so that we do here, it's completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, when you're looking at case study as part of some sort of research,
even social services, social work case studies are completely different than.
Yeah, they would be. They would be, because that's just talking about the client in a set of circumstances in a particular situation. And of course, here, the case study is about you and the client. And you're teaching, and it's only because you're training. If you were writing a case study for some other journal, you wouldn't put in all the detail that we're looking for, which is in week 3, we taught the Heaveners part 2, et cetera, et cetera, because the reader wouldn't be relevant to them anyway. So this is a different ball game. It's a tutorial case study, really. That might be a good thing to call it, Donna. And if we gave you a model, it would be so easy for you to copy it out.
No. I'm trying to say just basic, not, you know, like a full, just like the skeleton, you know, just to know. Anyway, we specify some points, like
it's how, in here.
I mean, this is what I followed. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah.
So I don't know there you are. Right, then you'll have done it. Then you'll have done it.
And Jane, if you don't mind to let me know, because I had difficulties in understanding the statement. It's section F, F for Freddy. The process in relation to what you know of theoretical backgrounds of AT. How do I relate this with client experience? I mean, maybe I don't understand the semantic here, or maybe would you like to clarify a bit?
I think if we look at the theoretical background of AT in its simplest form, is that self-adjustment from within, autogenic, comes from within the client. That's the basic premise of what we're doing. So the process then could be about what the client encountered in terms of their emotions, or in their response to autogenic exercises, we're saying discharges or whatever else. But I think this will come out on each week that you write. It will be there inherently, because that is what we're doing. We could almost take that out. I tell you what, once upon a time we were in the UK Council for Psychotherapy, and we had to put in an awful lot about with psychotherapeutic connections into our teaching work, and that might have come from that. The theoretical background of AT, yes, we've taught you that, but it's quite vague in its way. And the process, some people do more on emotions, others do quite a lot in the physical body. Some people don't seem to have a process at all. And so you would say that. They sailed through the course, they quite enjoyed it, they didn't have many questions, and they came out the other end saying that they were sleeping a whole lot better. And they were very pleased. Now, that might be their process in relation to the theoretical background of AT, because their stress response had been calmed down. So, you know, it might be something as simple as that.
I had troubles with that question too.
I'm not surprised. I wish you'd asked, because to be perfectly honest, I'm now quite tempted to cross it out. Because I think that we go overboard with what we're asking for.
And the second aspect, Jane, thank you very much for clarifying the first one. The second one was the client level of development and maturity in relation to self and to the therapist is the next question.
Oh, it's in the next bit there.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's simply your observations of the client. We can't actually talk about levels in terms of numbers, can we? We can't say 3 out of 10, but we might say, you might have noticed, for example, and you won't be working in groups yet, so we can leave that aside, but you might have been pleased to see that someone who was really doubtful at first and quite resistant about certain things, that actually by the end of the course, they were doing things without being prompted by you. They were using offloading or whatever it might be. And that would be a level of development and maybe maturity within themselves. But again, it's really saying, how was your client at the end of it compared to the beginning? And a lot of that will be your perception of it. So there's nothing that is set in stone or anything like that. And you might not have noticed anything. I'm working with a lovely client at the moment, too, actually, who is very sociable. It's very nice. There's quite a bit of laughter within it. But they've only just started. So I don't know how that's going to develop, but I'm quite convinced that by the time we get to the end, in their own selves, they won't be very much different. One is in his 70s already, so why would he be so different? And it's what they tell you as well, just as much.
So we were talking about the development, their approach in contact with, the development with regards of the AT practice?
Their general demeanour. You know, when we get to the end, and please don't think that we're wanting a long exercise on development. I mean, this a long essay on development. This is not what we're about. This would be more about in understanding your client's experience. How different are they between day one and now at the refresher? And they might not be too different in what they, in how they are, although you might notice they're not so tense or they're not clicking their fingers so much. It might be quite simple little things. We're not asking you to be experts on body language, although that can be quite useful. Donna, how am I complicating things more than I need to here?
I'm just getting the feeling that we need to rewrite these guidelines a bit because they are, and I understand that AT is very woolly because it is very subjective, but when it comes to writing a case study, the students need guidelines.
Yes.
And these, I think, have tried to incorporate the whole wooliness of everything, but haven't given perhaps the structure in. There's not perhaps as much structure as they could be. So I think we need to clarify it and put it, we want A, B, C, and then you can write what, you know, but then you know what you're doing, I think.
But this actually, you know, I quite agree with you. Let's simplify where we can. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we are looking for a certain amount of detail. So at the top of that page on letter E, you know, your self-reflection at the end of every session, just a couple of lines on how you felt during it and a particular issue and how that was managed. And you might go and seek some supervision help or something at that point. So that, I mean, there are quite a lot of examples of how you write this.
Yeah, so it states what the requirement is. But if we had half a page of like elements of a week with a client. So, because I hear what you said that, you know, if you gave us an example case study, what's to stop us from taking most of that and copying it, which none of us would ever.
No, I know. But this has been said to me because I've been asked this before and they've said, well, yes, but then, hey,
I think if we had even half a page of a Word document that says when you're presenting, say, week six, this is an example, and you might just write out what you say for the exercise based on the formula from week two, where you have an overriding sentence that says, this is how I'm teaching 18. Mm-hmm. It's the same every week, unless it's different, in which case I include it in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, maybe give a couple of examples. And then at the end, you know, a couple of sentences, imaginary sentences about the self-reflection and the client's process, so that it's not a full week, but it's got enough in there to give us kind of an idea of exactly how to present it. Certainly for me, I'd find that helpful, and maybe others too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I feel I've done this recently, but maybe I didn't send it. I mean, I'm sure. Anyway, right, point taken. point taken. I have written the structure of a case study session, haven't I?
No, never said written, no structure of a session. You wrote recently,
but just with the headings, because that's for you to fill in.
But not a case study session.
No. All right. Well, that shouldn't be too difficult to do, right?
Yeah, because it's not that we don't know how to run a session. What we want to know is how to present it in a case study. The kind of thing that, you know, the BAS teaching establishment would like us to use. Because then if we know we're on the right page from the get-go, we're on the right page.
Absolutely.
It increases our confidence in what writing, saves time of recordings and typing up notes or writing verbatim. Yeah, it's a win-win, isn't it?
Yes. I'm sounding doubtful because people... Anyway, that's fine. We will see what we can manage.
I think we can.
Okey-doke.
Can I read you something from this wonderful book that Pia recommended?
Waking for Time.
Dipping into this when I'm not lost in case study writing or client notes. And you gave an example when you were talking to Sebastian about, you know, explaining the AT theory a moment ago. And it just came to my mind. And this is a quote in the prologue. And it says, increasingly, I became convinced that the instinctual repertoire of the human organism includes a deep biological knowing, which, given the opportunity to do so, can and will guide the process of healing trauma. And I just thought that really sums up what's happening in the self-regulation of AT, perhaps.
Oh, given the opportunity. That's what we're doing every time we practice. We're giving mind body the opportunity. What a wonderful, isn't that wonderful? I mean, how clever of that person to discover that for themselves, which is what Schultz was doing by observing his patients. It's what Luther was doing by observing his patients. Nobody invented autogenic training. It kind of evolved, and I think that's a lot of its power. Yeah. Thank you so much, Bev. I really like that.
Thank you, Peter Levine.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. I know that name, but perhaps I know it from Pia, having talked about the book.
Mm. It's worth reading. Yeah, it's definitely worth reading.
Yeah.
This has been helpful. Thank you. This is good.
Well, I'm just sad that the its predecessor wasn't, you know, people are getting confused, but or not sure. But tell the story, because the story happens week by week. And the client is with you.
That will be next case study, not this one. Oh. Anyway, just how it is.
It's how it is. And I will look forward to reading them all. I always do. I always do. And then it's when my head says, oh, what happened there? And it maybe did happen and it wasn't written. And that's fine. So the comment will say, oh, I wonder what happened there. So you will know whether it's something to address or not. And that's where we leave it, unless you want, of course, to question and come back to me and say, actually, I wasn't sure what you meant or something. Yeah.
Beautiful.
If we do any more on case studies, I think we'll send you home so jumbled up. And I do, really do take on board the second language. Donna, you've got something to say there, I'm sure.
No, sorry, I was just writing a note down for this case study. Sorry, I
had, oh
no, it's for future. It's not for now. It's just where we could go forward with it. So well, I'm so sorry. I just missed the last bit of what you said.
Well, the last bit of what I said was I really sympathise with Sebastian and Pia not writing in their first language.
Oh,
and yeah. Would you have a comment about that, given your recent experience?
Oh, yes. Write it down will make sense of it, I think, basically. I've just worked with somebody who it wasn't their first language, a student. She was an absolute joy to work with. And we had a lot of supervision sessions and we muddled through it. And I helped her. If you get stuck, she was telling me what she meant. She perhaps couldn't write it down. But I was talking to her and I got the gist of what she was meaning so I could correct it for her and turn it into English. But we managed that, no problem. Reading between the lines and talking, I think,
and
is key here. Actually, talk or, you know, email one of us.
Absolutely.
And don't struggle.
Yeah. And I have no qualms about you using a translator if that's necessary.
Mm.
I think I would think it's unnecessary for both of you, actually. Okay, but at worst case scenario, if you were really really struggling, then be free to write it in your own language and get it translated, which probably would miss out a lot of the nuances or difficulties. You know, language is a difficult one, isn't it? But there we go. We've offered you possibilities there, and I don't think you will need them.
All you will get from me is Dinglish, is half Danish, half English. Dinglish. So the grammar might be all over the place. Yes. But I don't have time to be perfectionist about it.
No, that's all right. Yeah. I'm sure we will get the gist of it. I do remember one person who wrote the whole of their case study in bullet points, because that's just the person they were and that's what they did. And, I mean, I don't mind at all, except that it wasn't at all clear about who was talking, whether it was them, the therapist, or whether it was the client. So that was actually very confusing for the reader. Mm. But on the other hand, if you want to write, we checked the postures, we checked the exercise, or we checked it in bullet points, or she told me that she'd got a knee pain and a jaw ache and slept well and, you know, in bullet points. That's fine. Yeah.
Oh, well. It's done.
It's done.
Get it tomorrow. I just have somebody do the spell check for me, and that's it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Because sometimes you can't trust spell check because it might turn it into a different word, but it's not what I meant. So I can't give you an example, but it happens quite often. So
and some words sound exactly the same, and then they are spelt completely different, and they have completely different meanings. But quite a lot of computers are intelligent now and realize that the use of the word "which" in the wrong way in a particular sentence isn't appropriate. So they will tell you so.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. May I ask a question? So when can we start with our next client now? Because we haven't got the feedback.
Got the feedback. No, I think we've got to think about this. I would like to say yes. What we did with Bev was that I gave feedback on the assessment, and I think week one, wasn't it? But I haven't got any further with yours, Bev. And so maybe what I would do for Sebastian and Pierre, if I gave you that starting point with the assessment and week one, then you could at least have feedback on that.
That would be great.
Have the do an assessment then, perhaps with the comments in mind. Yes. And week one with the comments in mind, but delay a little bit because you haven't got to get your second one in until next year, have you? February, I think it is.
Mid-February, I think so.
I think it's February, we're always happy to give extensions if you need. And I'm really sorry to say that there might well be hold ups from me because we're doing an awful lot of other things at the moment. We're clearing the decks of those, but I'll get those done for you soon. Assessment of week one, and then you're all at the same page, aren't you, Bev? I've got to do yours.
Yes. No worry from me. I feel, I feel so much more confident having done one client. It's amazing the growth that can happen in that space, and so it's going well. Yeah, I feel in control, and and I am there making no assumptions.
So, Bev, I'm just curious, where are you at the moment with your case study number two? Is nearly done or not? Where are you at the moment with your second case study?
So I've only done up to heaviness part two. That was last week. So on Monday, I start on warmth. So I've been writing this one, like, as the case study each week. I'm behind, though, a week. And because during my first client, what I found was I was taking the notes and I had the detailed session notes, so I knew exactly what I'd taught. I had my trainer's script. I had the notes that I took during the session, which were, like, really short, and then I had a bit of self-reflection after the end. But what I didn't do was combine those each week into the case study report, and because all my spare time each week was taken up learning the theory, writing my trainer script, like really trying to get myself in a knowledgeable position to do a good job with my client. Whereas this time, because all of that's already been done, I've got the time and the space to write up my notes as I'm going along. So I'm still early days. I've done the assessment, and I've done three sessions starting with short stitch. So
cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And that's really important. And I'm just going to say, don't worry too much about, all of the script that you've written. I mean, it's a brilliant thing to do because it gets your head straight. But I also think actually we can talk it all through in normal language, theory. How much theory is there? Not really very much. Don't worry about theory in terms of how we're going to present the exercise. This is quite practical. I don't know, what do you feel about this, Donna and Patricia? Just go with.
I think, as putting myself back, I like to know that I know the theory inside out, because somebody will ask me a question.
Right.
And I don't want to be that one going, I don't know how to answer that.
Yes.
Because I want to know it. So I like to be probably a bit like Bev. I like to be organized, know where I am. And whether I use it or not, that's a different matter. gives me the confidence to know that, yeah, come at me because I'm ready for you because I know what I'm doing.
And that's so true, Donna, because what I use for my first client, I've got a summary now that just is a bit of a kind of a crutch. Mm-hmm. But I find that I'm not even looking at it because I feel like I know the flow now. I know what I'm going to say and I'm able to say it in my own words, which is a great sign of learning and incorporating AT and the process and the theory into my body, my organism.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. And in the end, you see, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, look, I'm sitting here wondering what the theory is. Now, that's a bit weird, isn't it? But are we talking about the theory behind each new exercise, for example? Because if we are, there's really very little to say. Because if people are starting off with heaviness, it's because of the relaxation response. And out of using the heaviness, then they notice a bit of warmth. And that is also because of the relaxation response, because the blood vessels. I mean, it is I believe it's practical more than it's theory.
Yeah, and you're a nurse. So for a
nothing to do with nursing. Nothing to do with nursing. Hey, okay, maybe. Donna, go on.
No, I was just thinking it's probably I'm able to put myself back to where I was, and it is, like Deb was saying, that terror of like, and you just go blank, your mind shuts down and you know nothing and you've got no right being there. So just to be able to calm down because you know it's all there, I've got it all, just frees you up. So yeah, it's nice to have it and to file it all away and to just be organized, I think. I don't think we all live and breathe it as much as you have. You've just worked in it for so long, Jane. I think
you're right. Yes.
And autogenics.
And I think a lot of mine was osmosis, sort of absorbing, rather than the reading. But I can remember that very first session when I taught two people together. One was a doctor, so that was a bit unnerving. And another was just, I don't know, a friend of a friend or somebody. And that was the first course I did. And the doctor was so nice afterwards, because I faltered a bit and so on. But we were fine because I just taught them the heaviness. We weren't doing short stitch in those days. And he said at the end, "Do you know what? You'll never have to do that again." And I said, "What?" And he said, "No, you will never have to do that first session that you have ever taught of AT again." And that was such a nice thing to say. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Because it's true. And, okay, I had to do the second one. But having done the first, hey, it was a doddle. So there we go. So we all move in that direction.
Yeah. Jane, what about in the end of November, we meet again?
Yes.
And there is an exam, is that right?
Yes. Do you know what? Over lunch, I was suddenly having an idea. I'll say it now before I forget. Thank you, Pia. It could be construed as quite a heavy-duty weekend. You've got one day when you're going to do a presentation, which again can be quite light-hearted, and whatever you make of it, there's no need to get sort of too engrossed in theory again, just how you would present it. There's that. And we've got an exam which has slightly longer answers than our first test. I don't like the idea of an exam, really. It's just a test, really. And there would be, I think it's sort of half a dozen questions. How would you approach this? What might you do with that? It's nothing that we don't know. And Donna, I was wondering, or any of you, if you would like to split up that weekend, would you rather have, say, two Saturdays or a Saturday and a Sunday, but you haven't actually got that presentation on one day and the test on the second day? Is it too close together? Or would you like to get it all over and done with in one fell swoop? Because that's what we're, that's what we've got at the moment.
I think we did have on the Saturday, I think we looked at the timetable and made it quite an easy,
we did,
so that there is an early finish. I'm just,
yes, you're quite right, we did.
And then there's time to answer any last minute panics for the morning. Which
have I sent you the November one, the timetable?
No, you haven't sent it out.
I'll do it now.
And I've got scribbly notes on mine, I think.
Right, okay.
But you've actually sent it out. But we were having the presentation on Saturday morning.
Yep.
And then quite an easy just prep in the afternoon with an early finish because of the Sunday morning. Then the test in the morning followed by lunch. So we were trying to make it easy.
Yes, we were. And it might be, this is a silly idea of mine because everybody's got plans now and we'll never find the same day where we can join up. So perhaps we just stay as we are. I think that's fair enough. Yeah,
I would prefer that.
And you prefer that, then that's an answer in itself. Okay. Yeah.
Jane, I'm a little bit nervous with the timing because I take so long writing things down because it's not multiple.
Yes, but then we must certainly allow you more time, or
3 hours you've got for it.
How much
is it really? 3 hours?
Yeah, because when we spoke about it, we're gonna I'm looking at the wrong page, hang on a minute. Yeah, we'll start at 9:30 and then we're gonna have lunch at 1:00. So half time, 11, half 12. Actually, you've got 3.5 hours.
How many questions are there?
I can't honestly remember. I think it's about 6, but let's reduce it. I mean, you know, I'm all for making everything manageable. I think what we might have done there, Donna, is made it 3.5 hours so that the people who needed more time than others could have it.
Yes, and we go straight into lunch so that if you do finish early, you just have an early lunch and catch up with us after lunch. So I think that's how we worked it.
Now, yes, that was the idea. Is this practical, given that Pia is the only one who's doing this on a night shift and that she's the one who is needing more time on the test, it seems. I don't want to be too onerous on you, Pia. We won't care about spellings and things like that, you know, we absolutely won't, because we know that this is a
bless you.
Sorry, I might just dictate it and then I don't know.
Now is that an idea to talk about with Jade, Donna?
I just dictate it into my phone and then I have it transcribed and then I shift it up.
Right, you've got the technology to do that. Yes.
It's just timing, that's the only thing. But anyway,
The timing was 2 hours and we've made it 3, 3.5. Okay. Which actually we're not coming back until lunch, after lunch, which is 2:00. So realistically, you've got from 9:30 until 2:00.
Right. And what normally does it normally take?
Two hours.
I'll be fine then.
So you've got 4.5 hours. It's more than double. So I think that's how we did it. So hopefully everyone will finish.
Hang on, 4 hours for the exam.
Yes, you won't need 4 hours though. It's a 2-hour exam or test, but we were giving Pia more time. So we've made it 3 hours with a lunch break, or 3.5 hours with an hour for lunch. So that's 4.5 hours if you need it, but you won't need it. So once you've done your exam, you just finish it and go and have a coffee and join us after lunch and have a lie down.
And have a nice walk in the snow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So great. I think... would that be okay, Pia? Is that doable, do you think?
Yeah, I'm not so nervous now, so that's good. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, we really don't, because you know it all, really. It's just that we have to have a test. We can't call it any kind of qualification without something.
I'm fine with that. It's just more time than I normally get.
Yeah, we did that.
And I also think that if we hadn't made this plan that and you were still stuck or something, then we would do something extra afterwards and make it happen in some way or another. We would.
We can do an oral. There's always an oral. You know, we can talk about it if necessary. I don't think we'll need to, but there's always that to go to as well. So you don't need to write anything down.
Because my English is not my first language, in case I would need an extra half an hour, can I benefit?
Well,
you'll get the full four and a half hours, as everybody will. You'll all get that. It's a 2-hour exam, a 2-hour test.
But we've so how many questions are we going to have?
Oh, five or six, I can't remember, but they're slightly longer. The other one was a short answer test, okay? This one, a little bit more to think about. So you might have 10 sentences to write. Not an awful lot, okay? Donna and I and Patricia will have a look at the questions. They all come from Luther's original exam papers, and they all come from the practice of teaching autogenic training. There's not going to be any surprises there. And we don't ask you about the names of drugs or complicated conditions. You know, we are not doctors. You know, we're only ourselves teaching autogenics. So there shouldn't be any nasty surprises in there. But Sebastian, you left us short when we were starting to talk about this. The schedule is 9:30 to 11:30 for the test. However, people who need extra time, because it shouldn't take more than about 2 hours. And then people who need longer can take longer. And those who don't need longer, they can go and have whatever they want next. It might be lunch. It might be coffee. And we meet again at 2:00. So as Donna said earlier, you could start the test at 9:30. And if you really needed all the time until 2:00, which I really hope you wouldn't, you'd be so tired, it wouldn't be right. But you have got all that time. And if you haven't finished, you could say, I haven't finished because I want to check the language or whatever it is, then take that time. But there'll be somebody here.
Thank you.
Of course there will be. We're not leaving you on your own.
It's going to be held on the 26th of November, yeah?
That will be the 26th of November. Is that all right? Well, I mean, it is the weekend we've assigned to it, yes.
Any tips for preparing, or do you think we don't need to prepare? We just come with what we've learned on the course and teaching our first client.
I tell you what you can do is to read the tutorials. Do you remember? We may not have covered everything in the tutorials. Do you remember those sessions? We did a couple of them, certainly. There were five. So you've got all the tutorial questions in there. And the exam questions will come from those.
Yeah, we did them all.
We did do them all.
Yes.
So I thought we had, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So look for those tutorial sheets and everything comes from there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to work on any, choose the most likely ones.
Which numbers was that, Jane?
Nice try.
Well, it might have been 125, actually, just thinking of it, yes. I mean, there are some questions on there which are lists of things. How would you manage this, 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 and this, and this, and this? And I don't think we would ask that question in something where we would like you to consider something at more length. It's going to be more like a single question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But everything you will need will be on those tutorial sheets.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, that's good. And for next... And for our thing that we need to know for our presentation?
Did I send you some quite lengthy notes on giving a presentation? Yes, they were written by my husband and me quite a long time ago. Now, Bev has got them, so how come nobody else has? So I will resend.
Bev will know. We probably do too, but we can't remember. Bev always remember these things. She's the admin of the group. So yeah. I wonder, Jane, could I ask you if, so who I'm not presenting it like to doctors or to psychotherapists or whatever. I do it to my client base that I have already. Oh. And so it's people that is very interested in basically in self-awareness.
Hmm.
And they are the ones that I'm thinking that I would like to do the presentation to. So
yeah.
Can I brief you with what the clientele is and then say, I pretend you are them?
Yes, that's right. That's exactly how to do it. So what okay. you've just said, I'm going to give a talk, or you could say, hi, guys, you are my client base. And I know you're already interested in these approaches to health, and I'm going to tell you about autogenic training. There we are. We've just written your introduction for you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But that's what I had in mind that it would yes. be. Okay. So that's good.
Got that. Yes. And it's only 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's not
long. Quite hard, actually. But then on the other hand, you know, you can just, well, you can do a PowerPoint if you want with a few points on it, but, you know, you don't have to. Okay.
I will do it at PowerPoint. Yeah.
And really, I think the most important thing with a presentation is it's quite hard to put autogenic training across, as we all know. So think of something that is going to engage them as an opening question. Have you ever thought about...
And can we make it humorous?
Yes. Humor's the best way to engage and get people into a mode of thinking. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do it like what I actually in real life type of thing wanted to do for my clients.
Well, what better way can there be than yes, to do exactly. what you normally do? That okay. really
yeah,
is
I would love
the key.
Feedback on that.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, great.
Yes. Yes, okay. Bev.
Yeah, in my last supervision with Patricia, I was talking about the essay, and I'm trying to kind of, when I say get ahead, I'm really mindful of my workload in psychosynthesis as well. So if, you know, in order to juggle all the balls, I need to be thinking about these things. And I just wanted to kind of put it in the group. One thing that I was considering writing about was about 80 and the menopause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's quite prevalent now. It's something mm-hmm. open in society, and particularly when I think about some of the experience of women in menopause, which is waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and not being able to sleep, their feelings about that change in their life, how they relate to themselves, anxiety. That was kind of what I was thinking about looking into. Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, and I was wondering whether or not to write my presentation aimed at that kind of audience, because then the research for the presentation will feed into my essay. So it's kind of like minimizing as
okay.
superfluous work. But I just wanted to bring that into the group. You know, I know Patricia said that it was, you know, a good idea for the yeah. essay. I just yeah. wanted to kind of get your feedback as well. So I'm hijacking our training and having like a moment of tutorial, if that's okay.
No, but it's fine. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes, I'm all in favour of that. You know, if you can kill two birds with one stone, then let's do it. What do you, yes, Donna's nodding. Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, Patricia, for flagging that up as an agreed proposition. I think that's excellent.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
That's what I had in mind, so I'm glad that yeah. that's clarified.
Yeah, yes. I mean, let them overlap. It doesn't matter at all. They're two very different things, actually, because the essay is much more in-depth and you'd be looking at for references and all sorts of things, which you won't do in a presentation directly as an audience. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Jane, sorry to interrupt. I don't think I have all the tutorials. Is there any chance someone yeah. might send me
yeah,
the,
okay.
all the tutorials, please? Because I would like to prepare in advance.
I think, yeah, of course.
I have a few of them, but I'm not sure, you know, Because I think there are five, isn't it? As far as I'm.
There are five, yes.
Sebastian, the file that Jane sent us is called Tutorials 1 and 2, but it includes all the tutorials.
Really? I need to share.
Yeah.
I wonder why I only called it 1 and 2 and sent you all five. I can't imagine. Anyway, there we go.
What date was it sent? Do you know?
Before June, it'll be June. Before June, we had our module 2, week 1. On June, the whatever it was. So probably end of May.
Oh, what happens with the newsletter? Did that ever come out?
Not yet, sadly. We've had a few holdups.
Okay.
We're hoping it'll be out in the next, if we do really well, in the next week. But we'll have to see. Is that right, Donna?
Yes.
Mm.
I have a little beaver working away upstairs on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it to you guys on the 5th of September, the timetable and tutorial document, if that's helpful. I haven't found
it. Very helpful. Bev comes in as our saviour.
So, Bev, I cannot find the email from Jane. There are so many. I give hundreds of emails.
From me on the 5th of September.
Oh, okay. From you. That's
from me. Yeah. But, because Jane sends us lots of useful information. It'd take me a while to go and find that in my folder, too.
Sorry, is it from Jane or from you?
Hey, listen, look, the simplest thing is that I can send you all the tutorials to everybody. I will do that. And if you've already got them, delete what I send. But otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We could be here till midnight trying to find things, couldn't we, on an evening? Right.
Well, it is midnight.
Oh, it is. Oh. Sorry. I'm so sorry, Pierre.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. No, it's been very, very useful, this. Thank you. I will miss when we don't meet anymore.
Well, you've got a grief counselling sheet. Sorry, Fia, couldn't resist that.
That is a good one, Bev. Very, very good.
Oh, I will miss you too.
There's no reason, that's the joy of Zoom. There's no earthly reason why you guys shouldn't meet every so often. And if you want one of us or two of us or three of us to join in, we can do something like that if we fancy it. Donna was running, they're in, the talks are taking a rest at the moment, but something called AT Talks, which are, somebody offers a subject. No, actually, we want to change it, don't we? It started off with a gathering, didn't it?
Mm.
Just a gathering, exchange of ideas. Oh, I know, it was me and my book. But then I thought, I don't want to talk about my book. They've either read it or they haven't read it. Let's just talk. I think that's how that started.
Yeah.
Didn't it start with the idea of a book club?
Yes. It honestly went in so many different directions, and everybody then wanted this and wanted that. I just thought, whoa, I'm going to headspace for this. So I've just took a break because I had to do the training. Well, we had to do the training, but I didn't have enough energy and headspace to do it all. But it's on the back burner for something. I was also going to look into doing supervision sessions as well, so that it'd be ideal for you three just starting out to just have like supervision drop-ins or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Hopefully I need some time to get everything organized.
Yeah.
I think it's important to stay plugged into Bess because otherwise we just flounder around and this is like a lifeline for autogenics. That's how I look at it. And we only puppies in this. We're not seasoned AT practitioners, so we can learn a lot. Yeah, so and I'm more than, of course, happy to pay for whatever you come up with, you know. But I think it would be nice if there was something, you know, every 2 months, every month or something, even every 3 months or something, just to plug in and anyway, that's just my personal, I would love that.
I think that's a really good idea.
Because I think there's a really good atmosphere of support for each other, and it would be a shame to lose that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we will come in with questions, and you know, I mean, we have our little WhatsApp group, you know, so we
that's
which is brilliant. Great, you know. But to have that's just between the students, it would be lovely if we could learn as well as we go with you guys. It has such a wealth of information, and you can pass that over to the puppies. Yeah, that would be lovely. Anyway, I would love
Sebastian, are you okay? You're looking as though
was just skimming through the what is his name, the tutorials. I just found them. Thanks, Bev. So yeah, I was like miles away. I'm trying to get emotionally prepared for the exam. Anyway, I had one last year, and I've done well. Yeah.
So well
let's
done.
Let's hope as well.
You've got your anxiety exercise. I'm afraid of the exam. And there's a lovely personal formula to put into your autogenics. All my knowledge I recall in my exam, I know it all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think it's on the sheet of the personal formula. Yeah.
Can you come up with an essay writing one, Jane?
No, but bit by bit for every day, something comes for my essay.
Oh,
lovely.
There we go. I can't remember what I said now. Bit by bit, every day, something comes for my essay.
That's so good.
It's really good.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
You'll make up a better one.
Well, you never know. You may have started something there. And yeah, just on that note, so just to clarify a little bit about working in supervision. So I'm totally okay to kind of use some of my allotted supervisions with Patricia to have, you know, potentially, you know, exclusively or half of one just to talk about my essay, for example. Is that, or are they just envisaged to be only for clients' work?
I think this is where we take the student lead. If you are getting on all right and your supervisor agrees with your client work, and you could, of course, let me remind everybody, when you finish your second client, there's no reason why you shouldn't go on and teach a third. It just because you haven't qualified yet doesn't mean you can't go on teaching AT. So there's that. But no, if you're needing a little bit of guidance, you've got some questions about writing the essay. Personally speaking, I'm not really particularly qualified, not that I've got a student, so that's all right, advising about essays, but we can all remember what we've done in the past and what we've seen in the past and references and all the rest. But yes, by all means, use supervision for that if you need it.
Well, I have questions, and I guess I'm asking, who do I direct those questions to? What's the appropriate channel? Because I don't want to bombard, you know, Patricia in supervision with questions that I should be sending to someone else. So I thought it'd be important to just check and find out what's what on that.
Yeah. I think you can send any questions to any of us. And I think that's our role, isn't it, at that kind of point. Or start by sending them to Patricia because she is your supervisor and she can pass them on to us. So it can be that way. or if you're feeling, but it is all right to use supervision hours like that, as long as you're not compromising some work with clients that actually does need attention. But to be honest, it doesn't sound as though it does, Bev. It sounds like you're doing fine.
Well, I've saved the hours. Sorry, Patricia.
No, I just want to say that's good news for what Jane's just said for me, because I find myself sometimes in a situation where a question may come and I think to myself, it's not my place. I should not be answering, giving the answer to that. Mm-hmm. And if obviously now you, well, what I sort of interpreted you said, if I get something, I can't deal with it. I can forward it.
Check. Of course you can. I mean, I think, of course, we should allow that if that situation should arise, that you as three students agree that you wouldn't mind such a thing taking place. But that's hugely important. Nobody should be left with questions.
Yeah. So, and I'd be happy to spend time with Bev on the essay, obviously, as well. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I've saved up, when I say saved up sessions, the kind of the way it's worked, I'm having a session shortly, midway through my second client.
Oh, we have one coming up soon.
Yeah, we're going to pencil in a date for that. And then that would be my session. I'm trying to think, I've lost count. But there's some spare sessions that I thought would be useful to have for the essay. Mm-hmm. Just to get my own thoughts, because what I don't want to do is write something and then find I'm way off the mark. You know, that actually it would have been better to present an outline and get Patricia's feedback if that's the right channel.
Yeah.
Patricia's happy for me to use supervision in that way. That would be great.
Yeah, definitely.
And the essay guidelines, of course, in these green bits of paper will help. Yes. Yes, Bev.
Pia.
Oh, sorry, Pia. Yes, I knew I was. We're all doing it. We're just looking at. Yes, Pia.
I wonder. I have this secret dream, and that is that I chose to have supervision every week for every session. So each session I used for Anne, Dr. Anne, and that was so helpful, especially because it was her heart condition and all that stuff, so that was great. But she was sharing so much about what she was doing, and she said you'll find your own way, but I found it really, really good. And I have this secret dream that I would love with my second client to either Patricia or Donna. I know you can't do it, Jane, with all your stuff going on, but or can you? I don't even know. But I would love to have supervision for, let's say, Patricia for the next client, for my second client, and then I have a paid arrangement with Patricia. Is that something we can do? Because I learned so much from you, and every person is so different. Does that make sense, what I'm saying here?
It does. I mean, it certainly does make sense. I don't know that we've ever done it. I think it ought to be discussed between the three of us to see what to see how that sits. Yes, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Because and it's simply so I learn from different people, which, I mean, I normally do that for others, so anyway, and I pay for it.
Well,
extra.
Yes, I understand that. That would be a requirement. Yes, what was I going to say? Oh, fiddle. I mean, the supervisor is usually kind of it's a one-off. I know the confusion sometimes that has arisen in the past is actually how different people teach autogenic training. You've mentioned particular names who have been on your training course, so you know how we teach the basics. That's important. In the past, other people have done it in different ways, and they've done it this or that, or they've changed the wording, or they've found this better, or whatever. And we really don't want to go down that road. We've really got to, We've got to keep our standard. We really yeah. must.
That's
so, but Pia, you are talking about specific people who already know how you have been taught
I
to
wouldn't
teach.
Go with so, absolutely, because it's a structure.
Yeah.
That must be the structure. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's right.
But every person gives a different flavor to it.
Mm. Yes, they do. That is quite right. Yes.
And that I find so yummy. Mm. It's like every person will bake a different, it's all carrot cakes with the same, but they taste different.
Yes.
And I just love learning. That's all.
That's one of Anne's sayings, isn't it? Autogenic training is the recipe, but everybody makes the recipe with different ingredients. We've got the ingredients. They are standard. But the finished product of the cake is going to be different. Whoever cooks it, or whether it's Tuesday or Friday or whatever else, it's quite an interesting analogy, that one.
We've got the
recipe and the ingredients. Then, of course, it's the person who makes it different, the client.
Anyway, I'll just put it out there.
Okay. Remind us if you don't get a reply quite soon, because we are trying to get other things done at the moment. So,
all good.
Okay. All good. This is the moment then, is it, for deciding the ending of our extra day?
It's been fantastic.
It's been useful. Good. Well, you said fantastic. Okay. Thank you very much, too. I think we were wondering how we were going to... I hope we have addressed all the things that we seem to have let slip. I hope we have. And if we haven't, then drop us a line and we can easily write something. Now, my tasks are to write some notes on presenting a sample session of a case study. The timetable, of course, I must send you for November. And I'm going to send you all the tutorials to prepare. Yeah. Okay. Any other things I've got to do?
I don't think so. Plenty of other things.
But... Well, yes. First of all, picking up all those little branches with leaves attached to them lying all over my lawn, and I can't cut the grass until all of those are picked up and put in a bin, and then other leaves swept up and put on the compost, by which time it will rain again and I can't cut the grass. So there we go.
Yes, I feel you, Jane. There's debris everywhere.
Yes, yes, it is extraordinary.
We've had a storm, Pia.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So there's little bits of tree debris everywhere.
A bad storm?
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a lot of floods.
Especially in Scotland, England less, maybe north of England.
Yeah, north of England and Scotland, yeah.
I think some people died, actually.
Yeah.
God, the world is going crazy.
Yeah.
Nature is going crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I mean, this strange trouble with the trees has been going on all through the summer, in actual fact. So that's not just about the recent weather. So anyway, these things. Yes.
Wow.
Well, thank you all so much. That's been, it's been lovely. I mean, we've loved teaching you too. I mean, it goes both ways, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it does. It's been fantastic. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to see you guys.
Yeah. And I hope you feel better, Patricia.